Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast, park fans. We are in 2025. It's the first one of the year. Can you believe it? We've got a brand new theme park season headed our way really, really soon. If you're new here, if you don't know by now, we are a podcast for theme park fans, and we like to chat about all the goings on in the theme park industry in the UK and globally as well. Now, I'm normally here with Kev, who has quite inconveniently decided to move house this week, so he's not here for the next couple of weeks because he's busying himself with boxes and unpacking and all of that kind of stuff. But I wanted to start 2025 with a bit of a Disney episode, a Walt Disney World episode. It's something we haven't really talked about on the podcast for a while, and Kev is a massive Disney nerd, as we know. But as he wasn't available, I thought, who is the biggest other Disney nerd that I know? In fact, I think he's a bigger Disney nerd than Kev, and it's my mate, Andy Goldie.
Yay! Happy New Year! Thanks for having me on, Disney nerd. I like that.
You are. You wear that badge with pride, let's be honest.
I know, yeah. We're only a couple of weeks into the new year, and I've already ticked off one Disney park. And next week, I'm ticking off another Disney park. And
in fact, this is ridiculous.
This is the year I'm going to be a member of the Six Castles Club. This is the year. So I'm proper excited.
Well, we're going to find out all about that very soon. If you don't know Andy, by the way, you may have heard him on your radio at some point over the last 30 odd years, because he's been all around the place. He spent quite a lot of time in Stoke-on-Trent, like me. So sorry about that. But he also has a very good Disney podcast called
The Most Magical Podcast on Earth.
There we go. What else would it be called? And you do lots of chats on that with people who've basically gone to Walt Disney World, don't you? And you kind of get their thoughts, and some of them are first timers and some of them are Disney nerds. And
that was the idea behind the podcast. It was, I think I was in line for a ride at Disney World. I'm thinking, I would love to do a podcast about Disney World, but what could I talk about? And then I realized that I was in line just talking to people, and everybody's got a first time, and everybody's got a favorite attraction, everybody's got a favorite restaurant, everybody's got a special memory and a special story. Everybody's experiences, whether you've just been or you went 50 years ago, everybody's got a different story to tell. So that is the bulk of what the podcast is about. And obviously we have the latest updates and news and crowd calendars and pound to dollar conversions and that kind of stuff if you're going to be going soon. But yeah, it's just about sharing magical memories.
Of which you will have many, many of them. For anyone who's not heard the podcast or seen much of Andy, just this is his level of Disney fan. You got married at Walt Disney World.
I did, yeah. So I got engaged at Disneyland California. We got married at Walt Disney World, not in the parks, but we had a Disney fairy tale wedding. We got married at the Grand Floridian Resort, and then we had a honeymoon on the Disney Fantasy. We treated ourselves with some DVC points. That's the level.
Did you? Thought,
should we have a party when we come back, or should we buy some DVC points?
You literally couldn't get a more Disney relationship than that, could you? Engaged, married, honeymoon, all
everything. Do they do divorces? I'm not quite sure the Disney do divorces, but I'm sure if they did.
Not sure that's going in the whole happily ever after kind
no,
of
No, happily
thing.
Never after.
No. Well, I'm sure that's not a bridge we're going to need to be crossing. Not on this podcast, for sure.
Not in my life.
we're touching all sorts of wood. Right. So the reason that I wanted to get you on, or I wanted to talk Disney this year, is because, as always, around January time, I start getting what I call the Disney itch. And I start looking ahead to the year. And
Dreams
I
go,
to Walt Disney World this year, shall we do it? And generally around this time of year, I tend to message you.
Yeah.
And I start saying, I've been looking at Disney holidays, and what do you think about this, and what do you think about that? So basically, we're going to scratch this itch together this year, and we're going to work out, is 2025 a good year to go to Walt Disney World in Florida or not? And look at the pros and cons, because as much as you absolutely love it, and as much as I'm a massive theme park nerd, let's not kid ourselves, it's a massively expensive holiday, right?
incredibly expensive holiday and a big commitment. And yeah, every time you put TV on or open a newspaper or you go online, there's adverts for Walt Disney World and Florida and Universal as well. It's all coming at you at this time of year. Although a lot of people would prefer to book a little bit later in the year for the following year for free dining. So we can talk about that
Yeah,
later on.
okay.
But yeah, and especially with the weather being like cold and miserable, and like who wouldn't love some Florida blue skies and a little bit of magic with Mickey Mouse? It is a nice time to start planning and daydreaming about a trip to Walt Disney World.
I think that's half the problem, especially when you're on TikTok a lot, like I am, because all you still keep getting, if you are a theme park fan, is people who are currently in Florida and they're there in their t-shirts and their shorts still in January, still having the time of their lives. And we're over here freezing. And yeah, it does start making you think, should I book that big theme park holiday this year? Now, one of the reasons why I'm debating 2025 as whether it's good or not is the closure of Big Thunder Mountain, which closed this week. Literally, it was his
Yeah, literally just
last
closed.
opening. Yeah. And it's not, they've not even set a reopening date, have they? Although we're
No.
in 2026.
It's going to be next. They said it's going to be down all of this year, and well, it's going to open hopefully next year. Who even knows when next year? But yeah, it's a big attraction that is down for a long time. I think they're replacing the entire track, is what I heard, and then a few little enhancements, maybe the explosive ending like they've got over in Disneyland and in Paris as well. So I'm not really sure what they're doing. The cranes have already been in. Maybe they're going to be doing a little bit of groundwork for what is to come at Magic Kingdom, because obviously at D23 last year, there was the announcements about the Villains Land and Cars Land, which is going to be behind Big Thunder Mountain. They've had this thing for years, is like, what is behind Big Thunder Mountain? So part of me can't help think, okay, it's a big attraction that is down for a year. There's more to this than just doing a few little improvements. I mean, even replacing an entire track, would that take a year? There's got to be
Well,
more going on.
Merlin did it for Nemesis, obviously, in last year. It was closed for the 23 season, and Merlin managed Nemesis in a year. So, and Merlin
Yeah.
take forever to do anything. So, if a Merlin can do Nemesis, I'm pretty sure Disney could do Big Thunder Mountain.
Yeah, but Disney take forever to do anything. How long did it take to build Tron? And also, as well, if you've been to Disney, if you're a Disney fan, there is where it used to be the ESPN bar at Boardwalk. That closed for a new cake shop. It was closed for about, I'd say, 3 or 4 years. And the structure was already there. That was just to build a cake shop. It took about 3 years. Meanwhile, Universal have built an entire park in the same time as Disney have been trying to build a cake shop. So it does take a little bit of time to, for Disney to build or work on things. Then they're never in a rush, that's for
Is it
sure.
the most magical cake shop on
It's the most expensive cake shop on earth. $25 for a slice of cake. I mean, it's big cake. It's good cake, and they do
So
put a little
you
bit of
have
gold on it.
purchased from them.
Oh, I couldn't not, could I really? I didn't go in there to sit down because they've got a little takeout as well. But I thought I do have to try this cake, and it's good cake. But I ain't going in there paying
No.
like $30 for an omelet or whatever it is. That's a lot of money.
It is a
A lot of
lot.
money.
That this is something we'll get onto as well when we're considering this Walt Disney World holiday for 2025. Okay, so Big Thunder Mountain is closed. The reason that's a bit of a fly in the ointment for me is we had John Wardley on this very podcast, and when I asked him which roller coaster would you save in the whole entire world if you could only save one, his choice was Big Thunder Mountain. He says it's the greatest roller coaster in the world, and that's coming from John Wardley.
Big Thunder
So
Mountain at Walt Disney World or Big Thunder Mountain in general?
he didn't specify. Okay, he did say in
Okay.
general, but much of a muchness, right?
Well, no, because the Big Thunder Mountain at Disneyland Paris, and I've just come back from Disneyland Paris for New Year. Big Thunder Mountain at Disneyland Paris is so much better. The Paris one is the best Big Thunder because, I mean, it goes under the lake. You dip
Yeah.
under and out, and it's so much better.
Okay. So maybe in terms of Big Thunder losses, that being closed this year, possibly not a deal breaker.
Not really, but there are a few other things that are closed at Disney World. I mean, Test Track is also down at the minute
Yeah.
over at Epcot. That hopefully will be opening before the end of the year. Again, that's another big attraction at Epcot. That is having an entire redevelopment. So I think they're going back to what it used to be. Have you ever been to the original Test Track when you used to be a Test Track dummy? That was the whole thing about it. And then they changed it, Test Track 2.0, which I didn't think was as good. But again, they've completely gutted it. So I think they're keeping pretty much the same track, but the rest of the experience is going to be completely new. So that's not going to open till the end of this year, hopefully, as long as they're on schedule with that. So yeah, Test Track's down as well. So if you go into Disney World for a few little white knuckle rides, then there's two big ones there that are down at the minute. But then, of course, you've got the other white knuckle rides. You've got the best attraction at Disney World, which is Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind.
Yeah.
Which is way better than Big Thunder. And that is my favorite.
We had Mark on the podcast, who works for 3DX Scenic, massive American coaster enthusiast, has been an enthusiast for years, and he couldn't stop raving about Guardians. He said the same. It's the best ride at Walt Disney World.
It is like a party on a roller coaster. That is the best way to describe it. It's so smooth as well. And then you've got that, you know, what song are we going to get? Is it going to be Blondie? Is it going to be Gloria Estefan or Tears for Fears? I can rewrite and rewrite and rewrite that. I'm not a fan of the queue because I've done it so many times now, that 10, 15 minute pre-show, like going, oh, okay, I've done this now. Do we have to sit through this again? Yes, we do. Guardians is definitely the best ride. And of course, as well, talking about rides going down at Walt Disney World, Big Thunder is down, Test Track is down, and who knows when Rock and Roller Coaster is going to go down, because that was announced last year that Aerosmith are leaving the building for Muppets. Dr. Teeth is going to be taking over that
weird
attraction.
That's
not weird at all. Not weird at all.
Do you know that of all the IPs to stick on that, the Muppets is a bit of a far out left side?
It is a little bit weird, but you've got to have Disney have got Muppets, and they don't seem to do anything with them, but there's a lot of love for Muppets. I went they've got an after hours event at Christmas called Jollywood Nights at Hollywood Studios, and one of the big shows is presented by Kermit and Miss Piggy, and a lot of the merch they sell is like Muppets merch. So they're selling the merch. You've only got one attraction, which was the Muppets 3D. That's running at the minute. Obviously, that's going to be closing because that land is going to become Monsters, Inc. land. So I think they've had to keep Muppets fans happy by giving them something. The contract for the rights for Aerosmith is about to expire. So what could they do? Well, we already own the Muppets, so we don't really need to be paying anything for IP. And Steven Tyler, there was stories about him last year, which I won't go into. But there haven't been any stories about Dr. Teeth or Animal.
So far,
they've not been cancelled. So I think you're pretty safe going with something like that. And I think it fits. But they've also said on the description that it's going to be Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem and some famous friends. I'm wondering what they're going to do with that. I think in terms of the actual ride, it's going to be the same. Mm-hmm. I think it's just going to be the pre-show. And if you've seen the pre-show, it was Aerosmith in a recording studio. They can just change that venue around for Muppets.
I think
that's an easy turnaround.
But they haven't said for sure that that's going to be shut in 2025.
They haven't given dates. No.
Right.
But if you want to ride it one last time, that's why it's difficult, because there are so many things that are going to be closing, but we don't know when, like Dinosaur over at Animal Kingdom, that's going to be closing soon. So if you leave it to next year, but you want to ride Rock and Roller Coaster, Aerosmith and Dinosaur, will they be there next year? There's always something that is either going to be closed for maintenance, or something new that is coming, or something that's going to be about to close. Every year there is something new. So if you always wait for everything to be finished, Walt himself said Disney parks will never be finished. So you'll be waiting forever. There's never going to be that perfect time when all the planets align. Even at Epcot last year, finally saw the completion of all the walls coming down at Epcot and all the building work they did. And everything was completely open for 1 week. The walls came down, and then a week later, Test Track closed. So for 1 week, everything was open at Epcot. 1 week in how many years? So is there ever going to be that perfect time to go to Walt Disney World to experience everything?
And you mentioned, obviously, Monsters, Inc., Land, Cars Land, these new lands that they're building. What sort of timescale are we looking at for them to be ready?
Disney, you're talking, they've not even started building yet. they've not even announced when some of these lands are going to be closing. So you're talking years. So you're going to be getting Cars Land. And then when that's ready at Magic Kingdom, Villains Land will be the next thing. I think you're talking 2030 something for Villains Land. And then we've got the new land coming over at Animal Kingdom, which will be replacing Dinosaur. Dinosaur's going to get overlaid into Indiana Jones. So there's new attractions there. Again, Dinosaur, they've said this year is your last chance to ride Dinosaur. So they're not even going to start working on that till next year. So, you know, Disney timescales, as I say, Universal have built a park in a few years. Disney are talking about building a few lands in a few years' time.
Yeah. So we don't know. So, okay. So it's not like if you wait till 2027, 2026, 2027, you're going to get all this extra stuff. It's probably going to be a lot longer than that.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, you're going to get extra stuff this year. There's not a lot of new stuff coming to Walt Disney World this year, but hopefully by the end of the year, as we mentioned, Test Track will be open. So it'll be a new Test Track. So that'll be new. Finally, Magic Kingdom is getting a nighttime parade back. That launches in spring this year. So if you're going this year, you'll catch that for the first time. There's going to be a brand new villain show over at Hollywood Studios, which opens this year. The Little Mermaid show reopens this year. There's a couple of new lounges as well. If you love Pirates of the Caribbean, there's going to be a Pirates of the Caribbean lounge at Magic Kingdom. There's going to be a new lounge at Epcot under Spaceship Earth. So there are quite a few things that are still coming. And obviously there's a brand new hotel that's just opened, the new DVC resort at Polynesian Tower. Every time I go to Walt Disney World, even if I go a couple of times a year, there is always, always something new, either an attraction or a show or a ride or a restaurant or
a cake shop.
And even the cake shop, you know, when I go next time, there'll be new cake. There's always something new, even if it's only a slice of cake.
That is true. And, this is the thing, isn't it? The scale of Walt Disney World just always blows my mind. And I guess even if there was a year where everything was open, you wouldn't get around everything anyway, would you? It's impossible. You'd have to be there for weeks.
I mean, Brits, we are lucky because we'll tend to go for 2 weeks and you can do a lot in 2 weeks. But you've really got a plan and you've really got to spend. Sorry, those free fast passes are not here anymore. So if you want to make sure you get on all the big attractions at least once, then, you know, you're going to have to pay for your lightning lanes, which are basically, they've gone back to how fast pass used to be. Your three fast passes, just you got to pay for them these days.
Yeah, let's talk about this. And so I just about got my head around the whole Genie Plus system. And well, I was done. Like, right, cool, I get it. And now it's gone. Yeah. So we're back to... You can select three fast passes for the day.
Yes.
And once you've used one, you can select more.
Yeah. And you can select it in any park. So you pay for your three fast passes. So you choose your park and you select your three fast passes. I think it's 2 weeks before you go. If you're staying on property, you can start making your selection. But that's then for the entirety of your stay, up to 10 days. So some of those hard to get attractions, if you do it towards the end of your stay, there are more windows that are open. I only used this new system once last time I went, and we used it for Hollywood Studios because I knew I was doing a Christmas party. I was doing the Jollywood Nights. And because if you stay at a deluxe hotel, Epcot and Magic Kingdom have got deluxe hours once a week where you can get a lot done. You know, it's probably worth looking at maybe doing a split stay. So you're spending a couple of nights in one of the more deluxes, like Animal Kingdom Lodge is probably your cheapest deluxe. And it's nice to stay there as well. So with a combination of knowing where to stay tactfully and buying a couple of days of the lightning lanes. So when we booked the Hollywood Studios, we knew that Slinky Dog is the difficult one to get. So we booked Slinky Dog and I think we also got Tower of Terror and Toy Story Mania. And we got them early in the day. And like you say, as soon as you've used one, you're straight onto the system, and then you can book another one, not in that park, but for anywhere else. So your first three have to be in the same park, but as soon as you've used the first one, you can then book one for another park. Just have a look what's open.
And is that a set price then for the day, or does it fluctuate through the year depending on how busy it is?
Yeah, it fluctuates. It varies from park to park and it varies from date to date. although there's like an extreme ultimate Lightning Lane pass now that will just get you on any ride without having to book in fast passes, but they're like hundreds of dollars. And that's just, with that, you might as well just book a VIP tour, get 10 friends together and spend a couple of grand on a VIP tour and just go, right, we want to do Guardians. We want to do Tron. We want to do Tiana's. We want to do everything. Wait. Throw money at the problem. Don't worry. We'll worry about it when we get home.
Yeah. It's the holiday of a lifetime. Why not?
Yeah. Once in a lifetime.
Until you get the bug. Okay, so complex but not insurmountable to work out the Fastpass system, and it is one of those where you throw enough money at it, you can get on the rides. You mentioned there Tiana's. Now, I've not spoken to you since you've been on that. Yeah. What's your thoughts on that that facelift?
I really like it. And it was time for something new. I thought the old Splash Mountain was very dated, and obviously it came with its problems as well. If you're there for the thrills, it's the same ride. So you're still getting the same drops and everything like that. So don't worry about that. The story is a little bit baffling. It's something to do with Tiana and Lewis. They're looking for some critters to join a band. So you're going through the bayou, and then Mama Odie turns and she makes you small. And then you go underground and you're small and everybody's big. And then she puts you back to life again to the big size. You've really got to know the story because it doesn't tell it very well at right. all. The animatronics are brilliant. They're really nice. Although I don't think there's enough of them. I felt the old Splash Mountain, as you were going through, there were things happening all around you. You could look to your left, you could look to your right, you could look straight on. There was something going on. I feel like with Tiana's, they've cut that back a little bit. So they're kind of guiding your eye lines to the left or the right. So there's something going on the right. If you look at the left, there's actually not a lot happening. I feel like they've cut back a little bit. So maybe there was a budget cut there. But I like it. And Tiana's, the music from Princess and the Frog, is some of the best music from any Disney film. It's really joyous and uplifting. So you've got that. And there's the brand new track that they've got on there. But yeah, it just works. The music, the lights, the animatronic, I think it's really nice. You still get very wet, which I found out first time because I've not been on Splash Mountain for so long. And I went on in December when it was cold. I was like, oh, yeah, you really do get wet on here.
You know when you say it was cold? Like, yeah. What? Not UK cold, right?
Not UK cold. Not like...
But it was still like a good day at Alton Towers cold.
Yeah, it's still cold enough if you're walking around with wet shoes and a wet bum to be a little bit. It's not like when you go in Florida in the heat of summer and it's 100 degrees and like you can be soaking wet, you can get off and within minutes you can be dry.
Yeah.
If you go in winter and it's dark and it's cold and it takes a little bit longer just to get drier. So it's like a pack a poncho. a decent one, not the Disney ponchos. And be careful, the number of people who put their ponchos over their head and then sit down, and the first thing that happens is you rip the back of the neck of the poncho. You need to know how to wear a poncho. Sit down, make sure there's enough gap at the back, and then put your hood over, put it over your ears so that it doesn't come off. There is a technique to wearing a poncho.
I feel like you need to do a video for this. This has got to go on TikTok.
I'll do a video for you.
Andy's guide to correctly wearing a poncho at Disney World.
A number of people who sit down, they sit down and immediately rip the back of the poncho and then the back of the neck. What's the point of wearing a poncho?
I bet that Disney poncho is about 20 quid as well.
Yeah, probably. But have you been to Disney if you've not had to get a poncho? Last time we went, it started raining. And I don't know how they do this at Disney, but as soon as there's a spot of rain, every shop you go into, there's stacks of ponchos as you come in. So we got a poncho, put it on, and then it stopped raining. There was one day of rain, and that was like 10 minutes. But we bought a poncho, and next time we went to get the virtual queue for Tiana's, we went, let's take the ponchos.
It's a sturdy poncho. Okay, I'll put that on the packing list. When then would you say is the best time to go? Because we're talking about weather.
Yeah.
And obviously you've got here the pros and cons, because you want to, if you go in the summer, it's almost too hot and also very, very busy.
Yes and no for summer. It's not as, I always used to say the quietest time was January. I used to say, like, you know, after Christmas and New Year, people tend to kind of like get back to normal business and not go. that's not the case anymore. They've got a Disney Marathon, which is happening this weekend, and that is mega busy. Top tip, if you go to Disney when there is a marathon on, avoid the parks on the morning of the marathon, because the marathons go through the parks. They brilliantly deal with crowd control, but they don't stop the race. They stop you. You'll find yourself penned waiting to cross. I was in Epcot once when there was a marathon on. It took forever to get anywhere. So,
but why did you not join in?
You're
an athletic man, Andy.
Yeah. So January, when there's the marathon, is quite busy. Summer, I tend to think, is not as busy as it used to be. Easter, obviously, Easter can get busy around that time. You need to keep an eye on when it's spring break in America, when American schools are out, because that will catch a lot of people out. The good thing is, if you are relying on school holidays and you don't mind the heat, then the last 2 weeks in August, the very end of the UK summer holidays, is a good time to go, because American schools go back. American schools go back mid-August. So
right.
It tends to be a little bit quieter. End of August, early September is a bit of a quiet time. Favorite times for me to go, I love going to Disney World at Christmas. So another quiet-ish time, you've got a very small window on this, is after Thanksgiving. So
okay.
Thanksgiving is the last Thursday of November.
Yeah.
So you could fly out that weekend. So the following week, maybe the following 2 weeks, are a little bit quiet, because you will then, you'll catch the end of the Thanksgiving craziness, but it's just before the big Christmas rush. So just after Thanksgiving is quite a nice time if you want to experience Christmas. Christmas at Epcot is a great time, but their Christmas festivities don't start until Thanksgiving. Although Christmas parties at Magic Kingdom tend to start in August. So if you go for that, if you go for that 2 weeks in August, actually, sorry, no, Halloween starts.
I was going to say, surely you don't have Halloween and Christmas.
Yeah. Parties start in August, so Halloween
is crazy, isn't it?
And then Christmas will start probably the 1st of November. Again, another sweet spot. You've got kids on holiday, October half term. Sometimes you can catch Halloween and Christmas. If you go for actual Halloween, you can catch a Halloween party, and then a few days later, you can catch a Christmas party. That's quite a nice spot if you want to catch both seasons.
Does it go mad at Halloween, though? Are the parks crazy busy? Because it's such a big thing in America.
Yeah, the nearer you get to Halloween, the busier it is. So the beginning of the Halloween parties, that first couple of weeks are busy, especially if you know you've got kids who are not back at school, and then it dies down a little bit. So the Halloween parties, which are expensive, you're talking over $100 each just to get in.
Whoa.
And they get more expensive as you get nearer to Halloween. I've actually been there on Halloween, which was quite cool. But yeah, it's a great, the parades are great at the parties. The Halloween parade and the Christmas parade are really good.
Well, let's talk about that Christmas parade, because I don't know if you're on TikTok or seeing all the stuff on the Christmas parade just in the run to Christmas. My December TikTok was basically 80% Tally the Elf, who was that Christmas parade.
There was all sorts of controversy that he'd been fired, but he'd not.
I know, he'd been outed.
Yeah, I hadn't even heard of him until I saw it. Like Christmas just gone. I thought, I didn't even know anything about this elf at the end of the show.
No, I think it was this specific actor who got the part, this entertainment actor who got it this year, and he just took it and ran with it. And he just went crazy. But I mean, you couldn't stop watching them. I was on TikTok. Like, I need to see more Tally the Elf, because he was hilarious. He was absolutely brilliant at it. And I actually feel like a lot of people will actually be considering booking Disney for next Christmas just to go and see Tally the Elf.
I hope he's back, and I hope he's got a massive pay rise. Mickey Mouse,
this is the thing, though. I don't know how it kind of works for them as like character actors and entertainment staff, if they do almost become bigger than the character. Disney are like, nah, you're not doing that anymore.
Yeah, maybe they'll cast a few. Well, that's how Jungle Cruise started, because Jungle Cruise way back in the day was just a cruise looking at animals, and then it was some of the cast members who were bored and they started throwing little gags in, and then there was more gags in, and then that became the attraction.
Yeah.
So maybe he has created something for future Christmas parties.
There was him, and then he had a little sidekick, which apparently this elf was called Slay, but we're not quite sure if that was just named by like the Disney fans or not. He was very sassy. Like, I absolutely loved him.
He's probably giving the Grinch a run for its money, because obviously at Universal at Christmas, they've got Grinchmas. So the meet and greets with the Grinch are crazy.
If they'd done a meet and greet with Tally the Elf last December, I think the line for that would have gone absolutely insane, given Maybe. What was happening on TikTok. So
yeah, and let's see what merch they bring out next year for Tally the
Yes.
Elf.
Yes.
You know, Disney
it's gonna
have a merch.
It must
There'll be a
happen.
Popcorn bucket and people
Yeah.
doing hours
Tally the
for
Elf.
it.
And you know what? I'll be here for it. Like,
Of
literally,
course.
I will be booking that flight for December if that's going to be the case. That guy, I don't know who he was, but he was an absolute legend. I think he made a lot of people's Christmases
Yeah.
in the run-up to that. Okay, so Christmas, good time. A few little dots in and around. If you go at Christmas or January or February, sometime like that, avoiding the marathon, is it too cold?
Oh, it depends what you consider cold. Because I've been in January where it's actually been quite warm. In fact, a few years ago, I went for New Year's Eve, and it was weirdly like at midnight we were in shorts and t-shirts,
Oh,
with
really?
packs like jackets and stuff like that. And sometimes it's been a little bit nippy where you just need a spirit jersey, but it's warm in the sunshine. And then sometimes I've been and it's been absolutely freezing where you need like a hat and gloves. It can be that cold. But on the upside, usually that time of year, wintertime, it's drier. So if you don't mind it being cold, I mean, I've just been to Disneyland Paris for New Year when it was absolutely freezing. And I've been to Alton Towers when it opens for the season, and that's been absolutely freezing and wet. So if you think about that, if you can do that, and people, I've got friends who live in Orlando and it's their favorite time of year. They went, we love being able to put a jacket on and jeans and not
Such
being
a novelty.
Sweltering, actually being able to breathe outside without the humidity.
Yeah. Are the water parks open?
Usually they will close if it's severely cold, and quite often one or two of them will be closed throughout this. In fact, actually, the last couple of years, there's only really been one water park open.
Yeah.
Disney seems to have been alternating which water parks are open. So if you get, you'll know if it's really, really cold because the water parks will be closed. Although Brits will be there anyway.
Exactly. We'll be there in our shorts and t-shirts going, this ain't cold.
See nothing.
You need to harden up. Okay. So something to consider there. And wasn't there a thing that traditionally, like you say, everyone was like, oh, January's really quiet, February's really quiet.
Yeah.
But now the internet's kind of cottoned on to that. So all the times when people said it was really quiet, it's actually not really quiet anymore.
Yeah. So now here's me saying the end of August, September is going to be really quiet. And then this year, we'll go, okay, we'll go on that path. But I mean, Disney know that there's quiet times, because Epcot's Festival of the Arts starts in just a few days' time. That never used to exist. And that's on for a couple of months in January, February into March. And then Universal have got Mardi Gras as well. So they have created these reasons to visit in quiet times. So there is never a quiet time anymore. And there's more Run Disney events as well. It's not just the marathon this weekend. There'll be a Princess Marathon, which I think is in February. And then the Food and Wine Festival in November, they have a Food and Wine Marathon as well. That's become quite a big thing.
Has there been a time where you've gone and you're like, I'm actually not enjoying this?
Do you know what? I don't think there is, because you've always got to appreciate that you are at Walt Disney World, and you know, you've worked hard, you spent money to be there, and you're very lucky to be there. And you've got to remember that all the time, even if you have to wait 2 hours to get one Rise of the Resistance or whatever. You've got to think, I'm stood here for 2 hours. I could just be at work for 2 hours staring at a keyboard or whatever. You just got to appreciate where you are. And no, I don't think there's ever been a time when I've really wanted to come home. Once we went for 3 weeks, and I think after 2 weeks, I was like, okay, now I think I'm done. I'm tired. I'd like to eat vegetables.
There aren't any glazed.
Be in my own bed. And I'd like my bank balance to look a little bit better, because it's not cheap, especially if you treat yourself to a slice of cake from the cake box.
I guess you always stay in Disney property then. That's like your thing.
Yeah. So we have DVC, which is like a timeshare. So we bought a few years ago. And that really, if you know you're going to be going every year, it really is good value for money. And also as well, in the DVC rooms, you have got like a kettle and a toaster and a microwave. So what we tend to do is we'll like pack some porridges or cereal bars or tea bags, or we'll nip to the shop and we'll get a load of eggs or a loaf. So at least in the morning, you're waking up, your first meal of the day, you're not worrying about having to pay for. And if you can make that last till a little bit later on, you could have a snack and then one meal. You've really got a budget if you know how to spend. You can't go to restaurants every day because it's just too expensive.
Yeah.
And even if you've got the free dining, a lot of people book for free dining. You've got to ask yourself, well, is anything free really? Is there any such thing as a free lunch? Mm. And even with that, if you're in a restaurant, you still got to pay your service charge on top. You still got a 20% tip on that. And if you are going without the dining plan, if you think, well, I want to have an alcoholic drink, you're talking about $18 for a cocktail these days. And the pound to dollar's not brilliant, not like it used to be when I went for the first time in the early noughties. And it used to be, you know, $1 was like 50p.
Yeah.
It's not like that anymore. It just, and every time I go, it just feels that little bit more expensive in the parks.
Yeah.
But to have that DVC, not having to pay for the hotel, just have to pay your dues every year, and then being able to make a little bit of food in the room just to save that little bit.
Yeah. So on the Disney dining plan, because I've got to say, I'm someone who, we worked together for a long time, I love my food. But when there was exciting street food trucks pulling up outside our radio station office, I was that. I was first in line. Someone was putting something in that kitchen, I was first in line. Well, I say first, the sales team were first in line. but I love the idea of all the Disney food and all the Disney snacks. So when I see Disney dining, free Disney dining, you book by this date, to me, my ears prick up and I'm like, I feel like that's something that's worth doing. But is it not? Is it actually a bit of a scam?
I don't think so. I know people who have compared prices to what the hotel was before the offer was on, and they are a little bit cheaper if you're adding on the dining plan. The dining plan, firstly, is something you can buy. I wouldn't buy the dining plan because if you've been to Disney and you've used the dining plan, it is a lot of food. So if you're buying the dining plan, you're actually paying for food. You're not necessarily going to want to eat. But if it's free dining and there's a lot of restaurants you want to go to, if you do the math and have a look at the menus and go, okay, then, so I can have any main while I will have a steak because that's the most expensive thing on the menu. But then you've got to ask yourself, actually, if I was paying out of pocket, would I actually have the steak? I really want the steak? I'll have the most expensive glass of wine because an alcoholic beverage. You really can max out the dining plan.
Yeah.
You'd be clever and sassy about it.
Yeah.
But is it something you want to eat?
Yeah.
So the best thing, if you're thinking about booking for next year and you're waiting for free dining, just have a look now at when you want to go and how much it's going to be. And then when the free dining comes out, have a look at the difference in price, because there will be a difference in price.
Yeah.
And have a look at the menus. If you've got time in your hands, the best thing about Disney is the planning.
I love a menu browse.
I love a menu browse.
At any point in my life, anywhere, for the harvester, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I always do that. And then when you get there, you ask for the menu and look at it, realising that you've actually been staring at it for the last 6 months anyway, and you know exactly what you want to eat.
Yeah, this is just us getting older, isn't it? We're excited by little things like that. Okay, so we can do that. We can check the Disney dining plan. Is there a benefit in booking early, or should we be looking for some last minute bookings? You've done some last minute bookings for sure.
Do you know what? I've never done a last minute deal to Walt Disney World. No, because I am such a massive planner. So like, as soon as those flights go on sale, 11 months out, because I've got the DVC, you can book your DVC rooms 11 months out. So to get the best rooms and to get what you want, you have to book. So you have to know when you want to go. So obviously, as soon as you book that, usually book the flights as well. But I mean, you can get some really good deals. I've always flown with Virgin just because I like Virgin. But TUI, I've had some really good, last summer, some great last minute deals for Disney.
They fly into a different airport, don't they?
They fly into Melbourne, which is not Australia. It is in Florida. As I say, you don't have to stay at Disney. Just to go to Disney. I mean, there's not that many perks to staying on property at Disney anymore.
Yeah.
If you're staying at a deluxe hotel, you've got those deluxe hours once or twice a week. You get to go in the parks 30 minutes before everybody else. Which actually you can do a lot, because always remember, yeah, if you've got your early admission, it's not 30 minutes. You need to get to the park 30 minutes before that 30 minutes.
Right.
And you need
okay.
to know the ride that gets busy. So yeah, whether you're heading to Ratatouille or Rise of the Resistance, yeah, then as soon as that ride line opens, yeah, you're pretty much straight in there. And then hopefully if you can do that ride before your 30 minutes ends,
yeah,
you get in line
for
something
else.
You can
get another one in. Yeah.
So if you have to be staying on property to do that, if you're buying lightning lanes, if you're staying on property, you've got a slight advantage to book in those lightning lanes a few days before people who are not staying on property. But there's some partner hotels as well. If you don't mind staying over at Disney Springs, that can save you a lot of money. Not official Disney hotels, but Disney partner hotels. Disney Springs is great as well. If you love your food, there's so much food down there, and they'll often put transportation on from that hotel to the parks, and then just get a bus back from the parks to Disney Springs and then walk over to your hotel. So that can save you a little bit of money. Or the first time we used to stay at International Drive.
Yeah.
We always
was it
at
the Rosen Inn?
Oh, it probably was.
everyone goes to stay on International Drive.
We used to look for the hotels that had free transport to Disney.
Yeah.
So we'd save money on the transport. We'd save money on the hotel. Pack a packed lunch. Take that with you. Used to go to the Ponderosa for breakfast, which I don't think exists anymore. Load up on a big breakfast. But yeah, people say that people look at Disney hotels and they'll go, Disney World's too expensive for me. But yeah, if you look around at other places to go, I mean, there are so many hotel rooms in Orlando near the resorts that, you know, need filling. So they will be dirt cheap if you look around. So don't feel like you have to stay at Disney. You don't have to stay in the bubble.
I was going to say, how much of that? I hear a lot about the Disney bubble. Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah, totally. Because, I mean, as soon as you go through, there's arches that say, welcome to Walt Disney World. But the thing is, as well, if you're staying in the Disney bubble, life is going to be more expensive because you're staying in the hotel. So you're going to be eating in the hotels or at the resorts or in the parks. Whereas if you stay outside, especially on iDrive, there are so many cheaper places to eat. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to go to the IHOP for your breakfast, it's going to be like a third of the price of what you would pay in a Disney restaurant.
I think for me, with a young toddler, the one thing that's always appealed to me and the reason we've been looking at staying on site is just that transport, that easy transport. Yeah. We were looking at Pop Century just because it's on the Skyliner, which in my head seems like a very convenient, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, toddler's tired,
back
needs
to the room.
A break from the park, jump on the Skyliner, straight back. That's just in my head though, and I don't know realistically.
It's totally, if you're at Hollywood Studios or Epcot and you're on the Skyliner, so that is a value resort, which is on the Skyliner. Caribbean Beach is a moderate resort, which is on the Skyliner.
It looks very nice, that does.
Or you could stay at Boardwalk or Yacht on Beach where you could walk. Or there's the Swan and Dolphin, actually.
I looked at the Swan and Dolphin,
You can get some good deals there. Again, not official. They're very weird hotels because they're not official Disney hotels, but they're smack bang in the middle of Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
And when you're a Brit, walking, 10, 15 minutes to a theme park is nothing. I mean, there's transportation as well if you want to get the little boat to Hollywood Studios or Epcot. But I've often walked from Hollywood Studios to Epcot.
You spend 15 minutes walking from the Alton Towers car park to the main entrance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're trained for this. We're trained from birth for this.
Where would you stay? Like, so you've got your DVC.
Yeah.
Does that mean you're not limited to a certain place with that, are you? Can you just spend those wherever you want? Or
yeah, so I've got a home resort. So when you buy your points, you buy a home resort. So mine is the Riviera,
very nice.
Yeah, which is one of the new ones, which is kind of like around the Caribbean Beach. In fact, it used to be a Caribbean Beach hotel and they demolished it and built it up. So mine's at Riviera. So I can book in there 11 months out, or I can book to any other DVC resort 7 months out. So what I'll tend to do is I'll book it 11 months out, I get my 2 weeks there, and then if I want to change it 7 months out, I look for what else is around. Which the great thing is, if you do that, I can tend to do a split stay. So I'd maybe do a week and a bit at Boardwalk, which means I can then walk to Hollywood Studios or Epcot, and then maybe a few days over at Bay Lake Tower where you can walk to Magic Kingdom, or maybe over at Animal Kingdom Lodge. Just a resort in itself.
You got the giraffes and stuff like walking up to you.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people will book and stay there for 2 weeks and it's great, but you've got to ask yourself, how long are you actually going to be in that hotel room?
Yeah.
You might have a day at the resort where you can like chill out with the pool or look at the animals. But if you're paying for 2 weeks, you're not going to be there looking at the animals every day.
No.
Which is why I think split stays are really good. So you could do a few days. If you do a few days at a deluxe resort like Animal Kingdom,
yeah,
work out if it's like early in the week, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, which tend to be the deluxe hours at Magic Kingdom and Epcot, where when the park closes, you can stay for a couple of hours and you really can get loads done. So if you plan your deluxe days for a few days around then, and then stay at maybe a Skyliner resort.
Yeah.
It's time saving and money saving.
Is it a pain to move halfway through your holiday?
Or they do it for you. They do it for you. So pack your bags, contact the room servicey people and go, we're checking out today, but we're moving over to Boardwalk and they'll come and get your bags. And then you go to the parks and then you go from the parks to your new hotel. And when you get there, you go, oh, my bag's here. And they'll either bring them to your room or take them yourself.
Well, that's very convenient, isn't it?
Very convenient. It is the packing and unpacking and packing and unpacking again.
Packing cubes. That's the answer.
Packing
for
cubes
that
or
one.
Two cases. Yeah. Or just take an empty case and just buy things because you're not going to anyway.
I did not know that they would move it for you. That's exciting. I tell you, the deluxe resort that I always look at, and I'm thinking, when I'm very rich, possibly in another lifetime, the Wilderness Lodge. I look at that and I'm like, oh, it looks so cozy.
It does. Last time we went over to Wilderness Lodge to look at the Christmas tree, and it is fabulous. But getting to Wilderness Lodge is a bit of a faff.
Oh, is it?
Because there's no, I like to be able to walk to at least one theme park during my stay. Wilderness Lodge, you've got to get a little boat that takes you over to Magic Kingdom, or you've got to get the bus to the other resorts. So that can be a little bit of a faff. Even though it looks like it's near Magic Kingdom, it's not that near Magic Kingdom, but a beautiful resort. But also very similar to Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Yeah.
It's a Joe Rohde resort. So the lobbies look pretty much that
lobby is so impressive though. When you see it, you're like, I'd like to stay there and just not go to a park for a couple of days. I'll just go and like just spend a couple of days in the hotel just chilling out. And
if you go somewhere like that, like Wilderness Lodge or Animal Kingdom Lodge, then you definitely should have a resort. It's hard to do it. It's hard to force yourself because you go, we've got a 14-day ticket, we should go to the parks. Why are we not in the park?
But
especially in the middle, maybe like a weekend when they're a bit busier. Just
have
a resort day, have a pool day, or just have a day where you go resort hopping. You don't even have to be staying at Disney. You could be staying on International Drive, but you can still go and visit all these hotels because they want you to. Because they want you to go in the shops, they want you to go in the quick service. They want you to love them so that next time you go, oh, we're going to stay here.
That would happen to me as well. I'm so easily influenced. I'd be like, next time, definitely going to come here now that I'm eating my expensive cake in this hotel. Do you have a trip plan to Florida for this year?
Yeah, I'm doing all six castles this year.
That's crazy.
So I've already ticked one off, Disneyland Paris, and I'll be ticking off California next week. We're going back to Florida in around September.
Okay.
I want to visit the eastern parks. We'll do Japan, Hong Kong, and China. Springtime.
That's amazing.
Exciting. Yeah.
But you've got a Florida trip planned. Are you going to head over to Epic Universe? I know you're a Walt Disney World fanboy, but are you going to cross the threshold of the Universal Park?
Of course. Yeah, we're going to have a day there. It's going to be very difficult because that park opens months before we go to stay off all the YouTube videos.
I know.
All the attractions. Like, the attractions look incredible.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited because I can't think of the last time I went to a brand new theme park for the first time.
No. Yeah,
obviously, this year I'm going to go to three new Disney theme parks in the East, but being able to then go to another new theme park. I think the last time I went to a brand new theme park in Florida was when Universal opened Islands of Adventure.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That was
when I last went to Florida.
Was that late 90s? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was late 90s when Islands of Adventure opened. Yeah. Crazy. We're talking about Disney, but we can't not mention Epic Universe, which just it looks incredible. And for us as theme park fans, for sure, we love a new theme park, and if Universal are doing it, it's going to be great. It looks amazing. When we were working together last, I think you'd headed to Florida and you'd gone on VelociCoaster, or you're about to go and ride VelociCoaster. And you were making me so jealous talking about it.
Although I don't know what has happened to me the last year or two. I'm finding that my stomach isn't taking to some of the big rides like Velocicoaster and Hulk.
I really
love Hulk. I could ride Hulk over and over again. I've been previous times when there's been no queues and I've got off it and I've got on it and I've got off it and I've got on it. But the last few times, my stomach is like, I really, one of these days, I'm going to be sick.
Don't be that person.
Don't be that person.
You'll not get internet famous.
Cosmic Rewind, I was fine. But some of the older rides, I don't know. Is it Dramamine that I need to get next time I go to Florida? I think people take Dramamine. I think it's just old age. But people say, oh, yeah, the older you get, it just happens.
Oh, really?
Nobody warned me about that.
Well, hopefully you'll get through the year unscathed. Now, you've obviously got a really exciting year planned for 2025. And I'm not jealous at all with your, all your adventuring. You will have to come back on and tell us all about it.
I will, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And you can maybe do us a Disney Parks overview when you've done them all and you're like, right, actually, is Walt Disney World still the number one for you?
Yeah, well, summertime, I should be back and I will have done all six to compare them.
Exciting. I've heard like Disney Sea, Tokyo Disney Sea, like everyone's very like impressed by that.
Yeah, everyone say that that is the best Disney park because they don't fully control it and they seem to be not shy of splashing the cash, which is good. So yeah, I'm excited to see that.
Definitely an adventure. In conclusion to our to the question we posed at the start of this episode, is it worth visiting Walt Disney World in 2025? What's your advice to anyone who's considering it? Like
I would
me.
Never say don't visit Walt Disney World because there will always be something new next year. If you go in 2025 and it gets to 2026 and you go, oh, we should save this to 2026 because there's so many new things. Or you go in 2026 and go, oh, I wish I went last year because dinosaurs closed and I wish I'd done that or something else has gone down. There's always going to be, it's constantly evolving and changing. So there's never not a good time to go to Walt Disney World as long as you can afford it. That is the one thing I tell people. If you can't afford it, or it's not in your budget to stay, so look at your budget and look what you can get for your budget. And if you can't afford it, if you can save, and then do that. And a lot of people say, oh, well, we'll save, but we'll go to Disneyland Paris for a few days instead. I'll go, well, don't go to Disneyland Paris. Put that money in a pot. If you want to go to Disney World, just don't rely on going to Disneyland Paris a few times and trying to save. Put that as part of your savings. It's a big trip. It's a huge, huge amount of land and the parks and the resorts. There's so much to see and do. It's 2 years that you will, 2 years, 2 weeks that you will never forget. 2 years, I'll go for 2 years.
Yeah. Just go with that DAVC points that you've got. Does that allow you to live there like 365?
I'd work that. I think you'd need to buy like thousands and thousands of points. Which I
can't. Have you seen those houses that they have, which you can actually like buy when they're on Disney property?
Yeah, Golden Oak. I've quite often get myself in a YouTube loop of looking at real estate people just showing you around. But even with those, you don't get theme park tickets.
Oh, really?
You still have to buy theme park tickets. I thought, you'll get a lifetime admission to Disney World. You get Club 30.
Yeah.
No, none of that. None of it.
Outrageous. But you would be like staying in a magical little house, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And you get to say your address when you ring up any call center. It's like, what's your address?
Number one, Walt Disney World.
It's got to be worth it. Right, Andy, thank you so much for coming on podcast with us. Enjoy your 2025 season. Thanks. I don't think I've ever done this with you.
Just gotta ride it.
We do a part of the show called Just Gotta Ride It. And it's where we ask whoever's on the podcast with us what roller coaster they would save if they could only save one in the whole world. Do you have an answer for which roller coaster you would save if all the rest were going to get melted down and destroyed?
Now, when you were saying this, I was going to say Guardians Cosmic Rewind because I think it is my favourite attraction at Walt Disney World right now. However, if I had to save one, it would have to be Everest over at Animal Kingdom.
Oh, really?
It's got such a special place in my heart. I remember we went to an after-hours event once there and nobody wanted to ride Everest. Everybody was over at Pandora. So we rode Everest on the front row and then the back row and then the middle row. We did it over and over again. I love riding it in the daytime, the nighttime. They're never going to fix the Yeti, but I do love the Disco Yeti. And I do love that little bit where he goes backwards and you get that little, those little butterflies in your stomach.
Yeah.
It's making me feel sick. So yeah, Everest is the one I would have to save.
Amazing. A very valid entry into our little Hall of Fame as well. I've just got to ride it. Remind us again where we can hear you.
You can hear me at The Most Magical Podcast on Earth. Brand new episodes out every other week. In fact, my latest episode is a trip report from New Year's Eve at Disneyland Paris. So you can listen to that one now. And at Pod Magical on the socials.
And are you still looking for people to come on and join that if we have got any Disney fans listening?
Yeah.
Just looking for new people.
If you're a Disney fan, you've got a story, even if you've not been for years, give me a shout and we'll get some time. We'll get you on to find out what your favourite attractions and restaurants and favourite Disney World memories are.
Awesome. That's Andy's podcast. This, of course, was Parkcast. We'll be back again next week. And if you have enjoyed us today, please give us a little rating, give us a review. It all helps. And if you click that subscribe button, you're going to get a notification whenever we release a new episode. For now, though, we have been Parkcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.